Good morning, everyone. Nice to see everyone here today. A beautiful day. Now, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to open the scriptures to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, and looking at the fourth chapter, there's a story in there about a little voyage across the Sea of Galilee. It ended up good because the Lord was with him. However, those that were in the boat were not so sure at the time. The circumstances took them right to the very edge of things. So I'd like to read Mark chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 35 down to the end of the chapter. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's look to the Lord for his help today. Father, we want to thank you once more for your grace to us. You've given us another day of grace. Another day whereby the message is still, come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's still a day when as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Oh Lord, but there's coming a day when the word will be different. Depart from me, I never knew you. In the day of grace, the door closes. And never again will those words be heard of invitation. But Lord, we would ask today that in this day of grace that you would open up our understanding. Lord, that we might understand too that we have you with us and you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So Lord, we ask your help today as we open your word. Your Holy Spirit may search our hearts, our minds. Give understanding, we pray, to each one we ask in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Asleep on the pillow. That shows us the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Power over the elements shows his deity. There we see his true humanity and his true deity displayed before his disciples. What do they say? What manner of man is this? is their question. They're wondering hearts. Well, we look at the Lord Jesus asleep on the pillow. Now, he's in the stern. That's where the steersman would sit. And there's usually, I've been told, that there is a leather cushion that is used by the steersman. He's got to sit there. And so, a little softer than a hard wooden bench, he has a leather cushion. It's not what you call a nice fluffy feather pillow. Don't think that's the case. Rather a hard, probably fiber, or not fiber, but some type of fiber or the hair of a camel or something stuffed in this leather sack. So don't think that the Lord Jesus was living in a lap of luxury there when he was sleeping on that so-called pillow. We have an idea of a pillow, and it's not the type of pillow at all. It was a cushion somewhat for the bottoms of the steersman. But be that as it may, he was asleep. And we see why he was asleep. He was exhausted. If you look over the chapter 4 and read that just very quickly or scan it, you'll see that he spent the day teaching. Anybody that has done any preaching knows how difficult it is sometimes. You're exhausted. You can be. Unless the Lord helps in a supernatural way. But he was a natural man. He was a real man. And in his trying to bring the message that God gave him, he spent that whole day teaching. The sermon there of the sower, the seeds, the parables, he taught them in parables, he gave examples. When his disciples were alone with him, he would continue to teach them as they came to him with questions. No doubt the day was interrupted by need to heal various ones as well. His day was packed, jam-packed with action and words. He had expended all his natural energy. And then he got a call. His call. His Father in heaven said, I want you to go to the other side of the lake. There's a man over there that is in desperate situation. Let's look at that poor man for a minute and read in verse chapter 5. Because when they got over the lake, it says here in verse 21 of chapter 5, or sorry, verse 1 of chapter 5, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Well, his cries went up to God in heaven. The Lord Jesus never did anything on his own initiative. I always do those things that the Father sends me to do. I delight to do the will of my Father. He was the perfect man, always obedient to his Father. So it was the Father that heard those cries in heaven. Across the lake, he must go. It's evening. He's got an appointment with a man the next day. And that same day, verse 35, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. That word there meant wasn't the word of demand. as we find later on, and they ask the question, what kind of man is this? This was the very one that was fulfilling the word and the works of the Father. If they had understood that, it would have been better. They would have had a much better voyage. But instead, they doubted. But here he says to them, and it's like, let us go over to the other side. It's God's will that we go over there. And if that's the case, then nothing in heaven and earth can stop that from happening. Not the devil. Because when the devil viewed what the Lord Jesus' purposes were, what did he do? He went out onto that lake and he caused a hurricane. The devil has that much power. Very much. And the reason I suspect that, more than a suspicion, is that when the Lord Jesus stood up in that boat, he rebuked the wind. He didn't say to the wind, peace be still. He rebuked the wind. And he said to the waves, be still, because the waves would rock the boat, continue after, long after the wind had stopped. As any seaman would know. For him to stand there, that pitching boat, and they're not that big, those boats, to stand there, and he stood as straight as an arrow, no doubt, and said, rebuked, just like in that the terminology, the word there, would lead us to suspect is similar to the way you might speak to an unruly dog. Rover, sit down. Sit. That type of word. He rebuked the wind as though he were speaking to a personage. And then he said to the waves, the pitching waves, peace, be still. Those agonized cries, though, of that man across the lake, that's what grips my soul. What hopeless condition he was in. And God the Father heard that man. We read that in verse 6, of chapter 5, that when he saw Jesus, he worshipped him. He fell prostrate before him. There were no doubt that man, knowing that he was inhabited by a legion of angels, of demons, yet his soul was crying out for deliverance. And there was this tension in this man between the evil and the good. He could neither get out of the good, nor could he do evil. And it was like the demons, the harder he tried, the harder the grip of the demons was. There was only one way of deliverance. And he was proceeding that night in a boat across the lake in answer to the Father's hearing of his desperate cries. Oh, the Lord made his way, exhausted in body and mind. He lay down on that cushion next to the steersman and slept. But there's one who doesn't sleep. The enemy of God and the enemy of man. Don't think that we can say, oh, that man, he was the worst of the worst kind of man. Believe it or not, we've all sinned, and before an absolute holy standard, we're all in the same condition as that man was. We're no better. We're all going to be judged, as it were, unless our judgment is passed and you have believed in the one who took your punishment. That's the only deliverance, is that when the Lord Jesus was punished on the cross, he died for that man's sin. As bad as they were, we don't know what caused him to be so gripped by Satan. Why did Satan have such a hold on him? I have no idea. But whether it's a Pharisee in the temple that goes up to pray, and outside he's got all the fine clothes and he's respected in the nation, may even be one of the 70 in the Sanhedrin to be ruling the nation of Israel and be respected as a teacher of the law. Satan has a different type of grip on that man. And perhaps a deeper spot in hell is preserved for that man than if that poor demoniac had never been delivered and went to hell. Don't think. When we compare things, be very, very careful. God had compassion on that man. He was crying out at the end, the Lord Jesus now is moving. But there's an enemy of his soul, says, I've got this man. He's a bridgehead in this area. I've got a legion of my demons that are possessing this man, and we have him where we want him. We're going to destroy him. So he raises a storm on the lake to prevent the Son of Man from coming across and delivering. Now let's take a look. It also says there that there was other little boats, verse 36. Now when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. It's a little, as he was, I'm pondering that statement. They took him in the boat as he was. As he was what? Well, just as he was. In other words, no special preparations were made. He finished the day. He finished speaking. It was time to go. It was evening. And just as he was, he got in the boat. No special preparations. His next mission was the deliverance of that demoniac over there in the country of the Gadarenes. That's the Lord Jesus. He never thought of himself. You and I might say, well, listen, I need to take a little break here. And, you know, I've got to maybe rest up a bit. Let's get something to eat. And we can maybe start out tomorrow morning. Not that. Not the Lord Jesus. The compassionate one would not wait another night for deliverance for that man. You'd meet him first thing in the morning after that terrible storm on the lake. Now listen, it says also other little boats were with him. They had heard him preach all day and they wanted to hear more. Maybe they're non-committal, you know. Maybe I need to hear a little bit more before I make a decision. So we're going to follow along. Other little boats came too. We don't know what happened to those little boats. Nothing is mentioned further about them. I hope that when the first storms began to rise, that they took shelter immediately and ran for shore. That would be the wise thing to do. We don't know. But this lesson we could draw from that is the only safe place on the lake that night was in the boat where the Lord Jesus was. And that's true. We can draw that parallel, can't we? The only safe place in this tumultuous world. The world is like an ocean moving. Sometimes the storms arise. Sometimes it's more peaceful. Sometimes the doldrums, where it's no wind, nothing to drive you forward. You just negative, practically, neutral. But that's what life is like. We're in a boat. We're going from birth to death. That's our death. The two ports. One port of entry, and the port where we received. And we're crossing. The only boat that's safe on the ocean of life is the one that Jesus is in. He may be sleeping. He may be sleeping, but his Father in heaven sleeps not. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He that keeps Israel, and we could say, he that keeps Eric, he that keeps Lon, he that keeps Maling, or anyone, neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's the one who is awake and ever willing to preserve his people. The servant of the Lord may rest, but the master is still in control. So we see him coming across there, the lake, this great windstorm arose. It's more like a hurricane. And of course, those interior lakes, they're subject to what they call anabaptic winds. We sometimes get them coming out of Squamish. That's why you get the Squamish there, and you get all the windsurfers and kite surfers and everybody going up to that area, because the cool air spills down from the mountain, passes the colder air and being heavier, and the warm air rises, and you get that in the afternoons. You'll see the big white caps as you approach from Anvil Island to the harbor at Squamish. You'll see that often. So that's what these inland lakes, sometimes they're very much susceptible to that. But this, I believe, was more than a natural, because it was late in the evening. It wasn't the early afternoon. We're told it's evening. Those anabaptic winds, they come down when the air warms up in the morning and towards noon, and then in the early afternoon they begin. This was something supernatural. And it was, I believe, Satan's attempt at preventing the deliverance of that man across the lake. But the disciples are in there. Now, notice it says, a great windstorm arose, verse 37, the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. You had one of the boats, no doubt, the boat belonged to either Peter and Andrew, his brother, or James and John, who they were partners in the business, the fishing business. They were fairly wealthy people, also very experienced. You had four professional fishermen in that boat. At least four of the disciples were professional fishermen before they were called to be disciples. You don't think that they had made preparations, and you don't think that they're when the waves began to come, they would reduce sail, of course, reduce any windage they could, maybe put out a sea anchor, which is from the front, just a big bag or something to keep the bow into the wind. Doesn't say that they're rowing, but they might have done that as well to help steady her and keep her into the wind. And those waves coming at her, but even with all their preparations, the water was coming in over the sides of the gunwales. They didn't see anything like that. Then they start bailing. There's provision for pumping her out or bailing it. And they're bailing, and there's 12 strong men in there and taking turns. They could go all night long and bail a boat like that, no problem. But they couldn't keep up with it. They were filling with water. They had done everything they could. Humanly speaking, there was nothing else to be done. That storm was bigger than them. Sometimes life is like that, isn't it, for us? Storms of life get bigger than we can handle. We get overwhelmed. And it's only then that we begin to call out. Isn't that our pathetic pride? You know, those fishermen, they probably thinking to themselves, the Lord sure needs a bit of rest here. We'll handle this on our own, you know. We'll be okay. No. It was beyond what they had ever experienced on that ocean, on that sea. They never experienced anything like that. Otherwise, they would have lost that boat if that was the case. She would have gone down, probably, with all hands that night. But the Lord was in the boat. How could a boat sink with the God of the universe in it? He who had displayed power over disease, over death, and now he's going to show his power over nature to his disciples. Lord, we're perishing, we're dying. Don't you care? He's still sleeping. The contrast is Jonah, remember Jonah? He was went down in the ship. He was running away from God's purposes. He was going to Tarshish rather than to Nineveh. He was told to go to Nineveh and preach, and he's going to Tarshish to flee. And he goes down into the boat and he falls asleep. They wake him up. They said, pray to your God. We're perishing. This is my fault. They threw him overboard. And the sea became calm. The Lord Jesus, though, was God himself. He was going to show that he was the Lord of nature as well. The creator, the one who had created the molecules that made up that ocean. He'd brought all things into existence by the word of his power, would stand up in that pitching boat, and like an arrow, he would rebuke the one that was driving that hurricane. And it became a great calm. Just like that, there was a great calm. The result was that the disciples were terrified. And he said, because he has to say to them, why are you so fearful? They were fearful because of the waves. And then in verse 41, it says, they feared exceedingly. It would almost seem that they were more afraid of what they had witnessed than facing death that night on the water, with the water coming in and going down. See, natural things we can face. Supernatural things are beyond our comprehension, beyond everything that we experience. And sometimes things in life are supernatural. Satan's the god of this age. He isn't asleep on a pillow. He's very much alive and working in the sons of disobedience, we read in Ephesians. Today, perhaps you're facing a storm in your life. A mini storm in comparison to this, perhaps, but a storm nevertheless. There's only one safe place in all the universe. There's only one place where their judgment has already passed, where Satan's power has been broken, and there is peace. God, he has made peace with God, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has paid the price for your peace. You know, you could be a Christian, though, however. And you say, well, I thought when I became a Christian that all these troubles would be past. But you're a servant of the Lord, and you're going to see opposition. The Lord Jesus did. Is a servant greater than his master? Of course not. If they persecuted you, they're going to persecute me. If there's going to be storms in your life caused by the evil one to prevent you from the ministry that I'm bringing you, he'll do that too. They said to one another, who is this man? What manner of man is this? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is he? He's none other than the one who is seated at God's right hand now, a prince and a savior. And he's still the same savior that invites us to come to him. There's no fear in him. He graciously asks us to come unto him. All you who labor, who heavy laden, I will give you rest. May the Lord help each one of us as we go through these storms of life. If you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus, you need to trust him. You need to get into the boat. Those little boats that were coming, there's uncertainty there, just where they ended up. We don't know. But we know that the boat that Jesus was in was on schedule, on time, and in the right place. Safely to where he wanted to go. And as soon as the Lord Jesus had cast out those demons, had fulfilled the will of the Father in delivering this desperate man, he left a great evangelist in that country, in that man. It says he went everywhere preaching the gospel. He was a powerful evangelist in that part of the world. That's what Satan didn't want. He became a great preacher in that part of the country. And the Lord Jesus got in the boat and went back across the other side. Lessons to be learned. Father, we want to thank you for your grace to us. For that person of the Lord Jesus, how compassionate he is. How patient he was with his disciples. Compassionate with that demoniac. Lord, we thank you that your power is great. Far greater than any opposition that can arise to your plan. Satan cannot stop it, as the storms of life may delay, but not completely thwart it. So, Father, we thank you for your grace. We pray, Lord, today, if there's anyone that is still outside of Jesus, outside of the boat that Jesus is in, and is not heading to a safe haven, we pray today they may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's any, Lord, that are facing trouble in their lives, Christians, we pray for them, Lord, that they may look to you, the one who is all-powerful, who is seated at your right hand above. And we give you thanks once again, O God our Father, in that name above all names, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.